Okay, you can tell now the meeting is being recorded so that we can begin officially. What we spoke about last week was a topic in terms of judicial and halachic process that related to the Amy Coney Barrett confirmation in terms of utilizing sources from outside of the canon to determine what the law is. And we used as an example the question of suicide. This week, we're in a different place, and the place is that Justice, now Associate Justice Amy Coney Barrett, has been confirmed. She's a member of the Supreme Court. She's probably beginning to hear cases today, tomorrow, so she's there. And one of the big concerns relates to whether or not now Justice Barrett, Justice Coney Barrett, will overturn Roe v. Wade. That is the question. Now, I sent out some sources today. I hope people can access the sources. And here's the thing, gentlemen. Roe v. Wade is not the issue. Roe v. Wade is no longer the law of the land. The law of the land currently is the case of Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which is the 1992 case, as opposed to Roe, which was a 1973 case. Well, I want to go through very quickly from the sefer that is Malakit or Svarim called Wikipedia, is the difference between Roe and Casey. And I think what we will try to show is that Roe is closer to halacha than Casey was, or than Casey is. That's really the issue that we want to show. And what we're going to discuss, and this is a massive topic, there's no way we could really do this topic in an hour, but we'll do the best we can. What we want to discuss is what is the halachic approach to abortion. So let's just go very quickly. 1973 case, Roe. Basically, the court found that a pregnant woman's liberty to choose to have an abortion without excessive government restriction. Roe struck down various state laws that opposed abortion. Now, that's a very important yesod, gentlemen. Even if Roe is overturned, right now we're not talking about Roe, we're talking about Casey. But even if Roe is overturned, that does not mean that abortion will be legal in the United States. Most of us on this Zoom share are in the state of New York. The state of New York is a relatively democratic state, democratic in the sense of the Democratic Party. And in the state of New York, it is highly unlikely that the state will decide that abortion is illegal. Even if they overturn Roe, it just means it reverts back to the states. But what Roe found is that abortion is a right that is found in the Constitution. Whether it's found in the Ninth Amendment, which is part of the Bill of Rights, the Ninth Amendment basically says that individuals are entitled to rights that cannot be infringed upon by the federal government. The others paskin that the right to have an abortion is found in the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment basically says, it's like the elastic clause in halacha almost. The 14th Amendment says that anything which is not limited to the government or to the states, individual rights have to remain. And that includes rights of life, liberty, and property. And the court found that a right to personal privacy is contained somewhere. Different justices paskened, either it's in the Ninth Amendment or in the 14th Amendment. But the Iker Yesod of Roe, for our purposes, is like this. If you read the second paragraph from Wikipedia, the Supreme Court issued a 7-2 decision which provides a right of privacy, but it also ruled that the right is not absolute and it must be balanced against the government's interest in protecting women's health and protecting prenatal life, meaning the woman has a right to an abortion, but the prenatal life also have rights, and we have to balance these two rights. And the court resolved the balancing act by tying the regulation to the three trimesters of pregnancy. So the law, according to Roe v. Wade, is that in the first trimester of pregnancy, the government cannot prohibit abortions at all. During the second trimester, you can require reasonable health regulations. During the third trimester, abortions can be prohibited so long as the laws contained exemptions for cases when they were necessary for the life and health of the mother. So the finding of the court in Roe is that there is a distinction. Abortion is not an absolute right. People talk about abortion on demand. Zelohaya velo nivra, according to Roe v. Wade. According to Roe, there is this distinction based on which trimester of pregnancy we are in. The case in 1993 of Planned Parenthood versus Casey reaffirms the essential finding of Roe v. Wade, which is that there is a right to abortion based on some right of privacy that is found somewhere in the Constitution, but it altered the standards for analyzing restrictions on that right, crafting the undue burden standard for abortion restrictions. Meaning, according to Planned Parenthood versus Casey, what we have is mistama, abortion is okay. But if there is an undue burden in that situation, the law would allow restrictions on abortion. But the baseline is that abortion is okay. If you look at the third paragraph, the court overturned the Roe trimester framework in favor of a viability analysis, thereby allowing states to implement abortion restrictions that apply during the first trimester of pregnancy. Right? So the finding of the court in Casey is also not exactly abortion on demand, but the baseline issue is that abortion is okay in all trimesters of pregnancy. Unlike Roe, where there's a distinction between first trimester, second trimester, third trimester, in Casey, the court found that there is no such distinction. Okay, Chevra? So this is the end of the American law part of the shiur.
If you could determine that it is a viable fetus even in first trimester, it's usser, and even if it's not if you determine it's not viable even in third trimester, it's mutter.
Correct. That's for sure true. It's based on the viability. The thing is that the baseline, according to Casey, is that abortion is permitted, and other considerations, such as not only the viability of the baby, but cases of the potential health of the baby, cases in terms of what it will do to the family, the maternal distress plays a much larger role in terms of permitting abortion under Casey. Under Roe, the assumption is that at least in the third trimester of pregnancy, the baby's right to life is very significant. Under Casey, we are not paskening that at all. We're not saying that the baby has a right to life that really has to be balanced, but we're saying that when there is an undue burden, so then the right to privacy, the right to abort one's fetus, the freedom of choice, etc., under the undue burden, so then that would not apply. That is the court's finding in Casey, which today is the law of the land. Okay, Chevra, the year 2020, with the confirmation of Justice Amy Coney Barrett, the issue on the table is not Roe v. Wade. This is very important. By the way, and if you listen to the confirmation hearings, she was talking about the case of Casey. She was not talking about Roe. The issue was, is abortion considered a super precedent, which can't be overturned? Brown versus Board of Ed is assumed to be a super precedent. But the question on the table related to abortion and whether she would vote to overturn abortion, obviously her religious convictions are such that she does not believe in a right of privacy, and consequently she does not believe that that the finding of the court in Casey and Roe is correct. Her religious preference would certainly be to overturn them. Whether she will do so against the court's findings in Roe and in Casey is still an open question, although the assumption of her opponents certainly was that she would want to overturn these landmark cases. Now, what does the halacha have to say about abortion? That's the shayla. So, like everything in Yiddishkeit, it's not so simple. And of course, you probably know by now that like everything, there is some sort of machlokas. But let's just try to go through the sources very quickly. The Mishnah in Maseches Ahalos, the first source. Mishnah writes that ha'isha shehi maksha leilaid mechatchon esavla b'me'eha mokdiyin oso evarim evarim epnei shechayeha kodmen la'evarav. This is a case that they call hard travail, meaning that a woman is in a very difficult labor and there is risk to the mother, maksha leilaid. So then you mechat v'nes havlad, you chop up the baby and you take out the baby, mipnei shechayeha kodem l'chayav, because the mother's life, to use a bad expression, trumps the baby's life. That is the basic idea of the Mishnah. However, yatzah rubo, ein nogin bo, shein dochen nefesh mipnei nefesh, once the majority of the baby has left, so then ein dochen nefesh mipnei nefesh, then you can't touch the baby. So apparently, when the baby is inside and the mother's life is at danger, so then abortion is permitted. But once the baby comes out, abortion is forbidden. That's all I see in Shas. Now, if I read the Mishnah seriously, I don't think we see anything other than in the last stages of pregnancy. The Mishnah is contrasting when a baby is born versus when the woman is in labor, but the baby has not yet been born. The Mishnah is silent about the earlier stages of pregnancy. Absolute silence, crickets. You don't hear anything. So what is the halacha about earlier abortions? Now, virtually every shiloh that will come up about abortion is not going to be a shiloh about a woman who is in hard travail. Those shilohs are not going to come up. You will never, I should never say never, but you will not confront a shiloh about, you know, the woman's life is at risk while she's in labor. That's really rare. So what's the halachic standard of abortion before that last section? Now, there is a Tosfos in Nida, on Daf Mem Daled. Tosfos in Nida on Daf Mem Daled, let's begin like five lines before the end of the Tosfos. V'im tomar, im tim tzalomar demutter lahargo bebeta na afilu mesa imo velo hevi kemunach bekufsa amai mechalan esar Shabbos she Mevian sak and dapper shasar and lakroa as a aim to the mucha parakama de erchen. Tais has a kasha that if you're allowed to be mechal on Shabbos, how come it's mutar lahargo? Tosis' expression over here is that you're allowed to kill the baby. Mutar means absolutely permitted. That's what Tosis is writing. How could it be if you're mechal on Shabbos of the baby's life that you're allowed to kill the baby?
Do you say that you're even chayev?
You're probably chayev to save the baby because of...
kill the baby to save the mother.
Well, again, we're talking about you're chayev to kill the baby to save the mother. That's the pashtus, that's a chiyev. The pashtus is it's not just a heter. I agree with that. But Tosis's comment is...
Could you explain why we're suddenly introducing Shabbos into here? Like, the mission isn't about taking place on Shabbos, right?
Shabbos, but here's the larger question. Do I assume that fetal life is halachic life? Okay, the Catholic Church believes that life begins at conception. Is that a Jewish notion? The basic argument we're going to be making is absolutely not. right? We believe that life does not begin at conception. We believe, bepashtos, that the baby is not alive until it emerges from the birth canal. At that point, we say, ein docha nefesh mipnei nefesh. Earlier on, the baby is something, but it's not halachically a full life. Because that baby is something, what is the standard? Is it permitted to abort? Again, we're talking about at some earlier stage, maybe before labor begins. Is abortion permitted? Is it usur min rabbanon? Is it usur min hatorah? If it's usur, what is the nature of that isur? And are there different stages in the halacha in this process? Now, I should note, by the way, that a lot of what I'm saying today comes from testimony that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Lebracha, gave in the Knesset. Rav Aaron gave this in the Knesset in what year? I don't know. It doesn't say, but it's printed in Tradition, summer of 1991. There's an English language translation of Rav Aaron's presentation to the Knesset. Rabbi Bleich in Contemporary Halachic Problems, Volume 2, also has an essay. These are the two major sources of what we're going to be discussing today. Nady, how are you?
Baruch Hashem. Can you say, connect this to, you know, the broader topic of life and organ donation, breathing, brain death, or brain life, circulation, that kind of thing?
I mean, again, it's possible. But over here, we also have to contend with the question of maybe fetal life is significant insofar as it's a part of the mother. Right? The question of brain death is, I'm dealing with one organism, a human being, one person. Over here, it's possible that there's only one person halachically, but that person is the mother. And any prohibition that exists on abortion might be a prohibition of injuring the mother. That the baby inside mom might be the same as mom's finger, which means I'm not allowed to cut off my finger and I can't abort the baby wantonly. But there are times in halacha when I'm allowed to cut off my finger, no? If I have a real infection, it's permitted. Right? So, and even short of the pikuach nefesh standard, which is a pretty high bar, we would permit a person to cut off a finger, correct?
Right.
Is that the halachic standard? If that's the case, so it's based on some time frame until actual labor begins. Until that point, the baby is not considered a separate entity. It is possible, however, that the issue at hand is not whether the baby is a separate entity, but let's assume the baby is a separate entity. It's a machlekes and taisus and Sanhedrin daf pei aleph. Do I paskin uber yerech imo? Do I paskin that uber is lav yerech imo? Do I paskin that the baby is considered like the thigh of mam or not? This issue is actually paskined in the bir hagra in Hilchos Erev Yom Kippur in terms of how many chickens do you need for kaparos. Now, do I assume that you need a separate chicken for kaparos of the baby, or does the mom's chicken suffice? That's the question, whether we pass in lahalacha that uber yerech imo or uber lav yerech imo. Okay, never thought that Mara Malcolm would come up. But as a matter of halacha, just to streamline the process, Taisvis in Nida uses the term that it's mutter, that under certain circumstances, abortion is absolutely permitted. That's the expression that Tosfos uses. This term in Tosfos is assumed to be a mistaken girsa. No one accepts the idea that abortion is ever permitted. We assume that abortion is always forbidden. The question is, what is the level of that prohibition? Now, how do I know abortion is always forbidden? So you're going to think I'm crazy, but Rav Kiva Eger says like me. The next source, which I forgot to label, that begins Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, it's a Gemara in Moed Katin on Daf Yud Ches. When a person, yeah, Ari?
No, I'm sorry, but it's very clear from the Mishnah that abortion is legal, right? You could chop up the baby. So isn't that just a clear statement?
1 second. You can abort. Allowed to chop up the baby in cases that mom's life is at risk.
Okay.
Right.
So abortion is legal.
Short of that, I don't have any permission. Let me just tell you what I'm talking about. Okay. I got two abortion shilas in the not too distant past. Actually, one shiloh I got was as follows. A couple who were having serious fertility issues, and finally the wife becomes pregnant after like 7-8 years of marriage, Baruch Hashem. In the 8th month of pregnancy, they find out that the baby has a real serious blood clot in the brain. The baby could have been born. The baby could have survived, but in a state that might have been a vegetable state or slightly above that. Is abortion permitted? Are you allowed to abort a viable fetus knowing that it will be significantly compromised? It happens in that case. I called Rabbi Willig right away. Rabbi Willig says, yes, abortion is permitted in this case. The difficulty was at that late stage of pregnancy in New York State, it was hard to get an abortion. She had to fly out to Colorado to get her abortion in the 8th month of pregnancy. This was a really difficult case. It happens that a couple of years later, Baruch Hashem, I got to name their son at his bris. And just this past week, right after my niece's wedding, I had parked my car on a street there in West Hempstead. And I see this mother with her now 3 kids, Baruch Hashem. And so now that story turned out, again, it was a terrible case, obviously, but now this couple has 3 children. Just a couple of weeks ago, I got a shayla, a couple, and this is a much more common shayla, couple, they already have 3 children, the wife is pregnant, and after amniocentesis, I don't pronounce things properly, but after amnio, which is done like in the 4th month, they found that the baby has Tay-Sachs. There's a problem with trisomy 23, with that gene, the baby's a Tay-Sachs baby. Tay-Sachs babies traditionally would not live beyond age 5. Now, today, they can live a little bit longer, but the life is a very difficult life. The couple asked, is abortion permitted? It happens that the, generally speaking, Tay-Sachs is a big machlokas. All poskim say that you should not abort Tay-Sachs babies. Some permit it, some don't permit it at all. Rav Moshe Feinstein says absolutely forbidden. The Tzitz Eliezer says it can be permitted in some cases even till the 7th month of pregnancy. But we try very hard not to abort. I put this couple in touch with a few people who I know who have Tay-Sachs babies, and they made a decision recently not to abort. Again, you have to understand the pain that goes into this. Now, on the one hand, we're dealing with a potential life. On the other hand, think about what it does to the family. Think about what it does to the parents. Things have been completely changed. Raising a regular child is always a challenge. But raising a Tay-Sachs baby, especially because one of the older children has real behavioral issues and he's already a handful, and now they're going to have a Tay-Sachs baby, this is a really serious question. Again, the couple decided, they told me not so long ago, a couple of weeks ago, they decided not to terminate the pregnancy. But those are common shilas. The Tosfos in Nida would say that abortion is permitted in certain cases. The word mutar is a significant word. But that word mutar is in all likelihood a mistake. It's almost impossible to assume that it's really mutter. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in his notes on the back of the Gemara there in Nida, changes the text of the Taisvis. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in that famous tshuva in Chelak Bezel Choshen Mishpat Simen Samach Tes, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that the Tosis is a mistake in the Girsa. It is impossible in Judaism to assume that abortion is absolutely mutter. Mr. Zach, how are you?
Why is everyone just assuming? Is it like an actual machlokes regardless? It just seems like everyone just assumes it was mutter because it's so crazy to say.
So it seems that there are real sources in Shas that it's got to be usser. And let me give you a source, which you're going to think I'm crazy for quoting, but Reb Akiva Eger says this is a legitimate source. Moed Katan Daf Yud Chesam Aleph. It's the next source on the sheets. It begins, Amr Reb Akiva Bar Ashi. Right? The question is whether an Avel is allowed to cut his fingernails during Avelos. You're in mourning, so we don't cut hair. What about cutting fingernails? So Reb Akiva Bar Ashi says, in the name of Rab, V'genustera Aser, meaning you can't cut your nails with the scissors. You are allowed to cut them with your fingers. Your mother probably told you not to bite your nails. It's a little bit gross, but technically during Avelos, that's okay. Amar Shemar Ba'aba. Hava ka'imna kameid Reb Yechanan be'midrasha b'chol ha'shamoed v'shakunu latufrei b'shinei mizarkinu. Right? I'm in the presence of Reb Yochanan. It's chol ha'moed. He takes his fingernails and he throws them. He bites them off with his teeth. He throws them. Shemamina tlas. I see three things. Shemamina mutalito tziparneim b'chol ha'shamoed. One is that on chol ha'moed, you're allowed to cut your fingernails. Even though we don't get haircuts on chol ha'moed, you're allowed to cut fingernails. Shemamina in ben mishomios. It's not considered disgusting to throw your fingernails. Shemamina mutalizarka. Not only that, you're allowed to mamish throw them. Eni. Is this true? The Gemara asks. V'tanya shlosha dvarim nemru b'tziparneim. We said three things about fingernails. Hakovran tzaddik, sarfon chassid. If you bury the fingernails, that's a righteous thing to do. If you burn them, that's even better. Zarkan, if you throw your fingernails, you're a Russia. Right? Time am I? Why are you a Russia if you throw your fingernails? Shema tarva alehen isha ubra vitapil. Maybe a pregnant woman will pass by these fingernails and that will be the end of her pregnancy. The Gemara then says, what's a woman doing in the Beis Medrash? maybe sometimes they come in. So right, that's the conversation in the
Hello?
That's the conversation in the Gemara. So what do I see? Says Reb Akiva Eger, I see from this Gemara in Moed Katan that abortion is forbidden. No? If there's a concern, I can't throw my fingernails because maybe a pregnant woman is going to pass by. And that somehow, again, the science over here, I'm not commenting on, but somehow that's going to lead to the demise of the baby. So you see, abortion is forbidden. That's clear in Moed Katan Daf Yud Ches. Mr. Fink.
Is it just from this Gemara that you say there's not an abortion concern, but there's a concern that you will cause an anguish for miscarrying?
Let's say she miscarries. What's the again, without being too callous, but what's the halachic problem of it will cause her to miscarry? Therefore, what? That means that there is some significance to that fetal life. We don't want her to miscarry.
It will cause her grief.
It will cause her grief.
And if it's just from that Gemara, there's another Gemara.
We'll get to other Gemaras in a second. Reb Akiva Eger in the Gilyon HaShas there, Moed Katan Daf Yud Ches, says, look at Tosfos in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Tes. That's Reb Akiva Eger's Mitzayin. Meaning, Tosfos in Sanhedrin puts two things together. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells me, that Ben Noach, right? It's the next source that we have in Sanhedrin Nun Zayin. Mishum Reb Yishmal Omer Af Al Ha'ubren. Right? Bnei Noach are forbidden in seven things, or there's sheva mitzvahs b'nei nayach. One of them is shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam, that you can't call a person in a person. What is a person in a person? That's a uber b'me'ei imo, the Gemara says. And that tells me that for b'nei noach, shvichos damim means even aborting a fetus is usher. The Gemara in Chulin has a line that mi ikamidi, is there anything on the planet that is forbidden for the non-Jews and is permitted for Jews? Jews, as they say in the old Hebrew national ads, have to answer to a higher authority. No? If something is forbidden for the non-Jews, if we say that b'nei noach are neharag al ha'ubrin, so it can't be that it is permitted for a Jew to abort. So this line in Tosfos, that abortion is permitted, can't be, because if I put two and two together, says Tosfos in Sanhedrin Nuntes, a non-Jew is killed, is nerag al ha'obrin, and mi ikamidi, it can't be that there's anything that's forbidden for b'nei noach, but is permitted for b'nei Yisrael, so abortion is obviously forbidden. That's clear, right? That's the Tosfos in Sanhedrin Daf Nuntes that Reb Kiva Eger references in our favorite case of the fingernails. The Gemara in Erchin, the Mishnah in the Gemara in Erchin, speaks about a woman who's going to be killed, right? A woman violated some Avera, she's Machal Shabbos, something, Bezin will kill her, but she's pregnant. Do you wait until she delivers the baby? So the halacha is, you don't wait until she delivers the baby. The Gemara says that you bang her on the stomach somehow and you kill the baby. Yashval hamashber, but when she sits down on the birthing stool, so then mamtin lachateled. Right, so that's already a different stage somewhat, but it's pretty close to the end. This woman halachically is supposed to die. Are you allowed to kill the baby also? The Gemara says, yeah, you are. But the Gemara derives from Psukim. The Psukim indicate to us that we're allowed to kill the baby before we're allowed to kill the baby. We don't want to just kill the mother with the baby because that leads to some nivel. We kill the baby before we kill the mother. That is the halacha. But once the mother begins labor, so then we do not kill the mother until the baby is born. That's what the Mishnah in Erchin says. And the Gemara basically comments, right? The Gemara basically comments that it's obvious that you're allowed to kill the baby before the woman goes to be killed. The woman is already sentenced, is already chayiv misa, but we kill the baby beforehand. The Gemara says that's obvious, and the Gemara derives, no, it's not so obvious, because maybe the baby is considered the property, the monetary property of the father, kasha yosha salabal ha'isha, and therefore, maybe we're not allowed to kill the baby. But again, from the Mishnah and the Gemara in Erchin, you get an impression that abortion is not really permitted, only in this case where we have this other concern that we're killing mom anyway, and the baby is going to die anyway if you kill mom. So in that case, we kill the baby before we kill mom. No? That's all I see from the Gemara in Erechen. I do see, though, a slightly earlier stage than the Gemara in that the Mishnah in Ahalo said. I see that the stage which is relevant is Yashval Hamashber, is when she begins labor, or she begins active labor, which is somewhat earlier than the baby actually emerging from the mother. It's a slightly earlier stage. We allow the baby to be born to this woman who's Hayeves Misa, once she sits down on the birthing stool, etc. That's what I see from the sugya in Erchin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Amar Rav Huna, katan harodev nitan lahatzilo benafsho. If you have a baby who's a rodev or a katan, someone who's not yet bar mitzvah, you could still kill the pursuer. There's a halacha of a pursuer. I'm running after somebody with a knife. You're allowed to kill me to make sure that I don't kill that person, even if it's a katan. Right? Rodev doesn't require hasra'a, loshna gadol, loshna katan, etc. So the Gemara has a kasha. Eisvei Rav Chisda Rav Huna. Yatzer Rosho ein nogin bo, lefi shein dochen nefesh mipnei nefesh. Va'amai rodev hu. Frek the Gemara. How come once the baby is coming out of the birth canal, how come you don't kill the baby? If it's a case of hard travail, so it is a situation of rodev. The baby is as if pursuing the mother and trying to kill the mother. So how come you don't kill the baby? The halacha is you kill a rodev. So the Gemara answers, Shaini hasam demishamaya karat fila. That's not rodev. Rodev means I'm doing something. In that case, Hashem is making the labor go difficult. Hashem is creating challenges in the labor. And as such, because the Rabbonu Shalom is doing it, it's not really rodev. Now, if it's not really rodev, so we have to go back to the other case. Remember, the Mishnah in Ahalo says that if the mother's life is at risk, so what we do is we kill the baby before the baby is born. Why? If we're saying it's not a rodev, why do you kill the baby? So Rashi comments in Sanhedrin. Rashi writes in the second line, first line going on to the second line, Dekozman shal yatzer lavir ha'olam lav nefeshu v'nitan lahargo ulahatzelas imo. Rashi's expression is that until the baby is born, it is not a nefesh. Now, the simple reading of Rashi, everything here is complicated, gentlemen. But the simple reading of Rashi is that the baby is not alive, halachically. Lav nefeshu. It is not alive, or maybe the better translation would be it's not fully alive, and therefore the baby is allowed to be killed.
You say like it's the uber yarachimo, it's like Rabbi said earlier, cutting off her finger?
It doesn't sound like Rashi is going with the opinion of uber yerech imo, even if the baby has its own halachic standing, but that standing is not considered life. Life means I am born. Until I am born, Rashi says, I am not alive. Now, that means, I'd say, it's potential life, not actual life. You can't destroy it wantonly, but you are allowed to kill the baby before the baby is born, because that baby is not a nefesh. Once Yatzer Rosho or Yatzer Rubo, once the baby's head emerges or the majority of the baby emerges, so in that situation, a nogin bo. In that situation, you can't touch the baby, because at that point it becomes a rodev. Excuse me, at that point, the baby becomes a nefesh. And once it's a nefesh, so you can't kill it. Ein dochen nefesh, ein nefesh. My life can't come at the expense of your life. According to the simple reading of the Gemara, the baby is never a rodev. The law of pursuer does not apply to the baby, because mishamaya karadfila. Right? Pursuit means I'm doing something. But over here, Hashem is doing it. Hashem is creating the difficulties in the childbirth. Mishamaya karadfila. How come we abort before the baby is born? The answer is because at that time, the baby is not yet a nefesh, according to Rashi. Nady, you had a comment?
Yeah, according to Rebbe's formulation about destroying potential life, sort of made me think. Could you say that the iser of abortion is basically hashchas hazer levatala kind of a thing?
Absolutely, and we'll present that possibility in a few minutes. I'm just saying that it's clear that abortion is forbidden, but according to Rashi, abortion is not murder.
How does he deal with the Tosfos' kasha of Hayikamidi le Bnei Noach?
Mi'ikamidi means that it's not. Mi'ikamidi means that there can be nothing in the world that that is forbidden for non-Jews but permitted for Jews. This case of abortion is forbidden for non-Jews and it's forbidden for Jews. The Isser, however, is not an Isser Ritzicha for Jews. Right? There can be nothing that is forbidden for a non-Jew, but a Jew is allowed to do. Right? But it doesn't mean that it's usher for the same reason. Right? For a non-Jew, it is halachically in the category of murder. For a Jew, it's usher. That's clear. It's usher. What is the isser, though? Rashi says it is not nefesh. Rambam, however, is really, really difficult. Right? The Rambam begins that even though when someone is a rodef, even though when someone is pursuing, so you have to kill. Therefore, the Chachom in Paskin, ha'ubra shimaksha leile mutar lachto ha'ubra the Rambam writes that the baby, that fetus, has the halachic status of a rodeh. That's what the Rambam says. It's like a pursuer. But misha hotzi rosho, you don't touch it because ein dochen nefesh mipnei nefesh v'zehu tibol sha'olam. It's natural. And everyone jumps up and down and they say, what are you talking about, Rambam? Right, Rambam is saying that the baby, when it's inside mom, is considered a rodef. But the Gemara says you're not a rodef. The Gemara says it's tiv'o shel olam, or mishamaya karadfula. The Rambam uses that expression only in the case of when the baby already was born. Before the baby is born, the simple reading of the Gemara is what Rashi says, that the baby is not a nefesh. But the Rambam seems to say that the baby is a nefesh. The baby is halachically alive. There is a kula that you're allowed to kill the baby before it comes out, because then the baby is a rodef. However, once the baby is being born, so now I have two lives, mom and baby. I don't know who is rodef whom. I don't know, is mom the rodef on the baby? Or is the baby the rodef on mom? One of them is going to die. I don't know who. Or potentially they'll both die even. So it could be that they're both rodefim. So the Rambam tells me once the baby comes out, so then the law of rodef doesn't apply because it's a natural situation, hands off, tiv'o shel olam, right? Leave the baby alone. But when the baby is inside, the Rambam says, in that situation, the baby is a rodef on mom. Mom is not yet a rodef on the baby. Right? Because the baby, right, mom is not a rodef on the baby. The baby is a rodef on mom. And therefore, I could kill the baby because there's only one rodef.
Meaning baby can't be rodef on mom because baby's not enough of a being yet.
Baby is not enough. Well, inside, baby is a rodef on mom. So I kill baby because baby is a rodef. But once the baby is born, so then I have two equal entities, mom and baby. They are both rodef, one the other. So there I say, you know, throw your hands up, don't do anything. But when the baby is inside, the assumption is that baby is more of a rodef on mom than mom is a rodef on the baby.
Right.
It's possible that for the Rambam, when the baby is inside, it has the status of nefesh. Possible, but not compelling. It could be that the Rambam agrees with Rashi, one second, Ellie, that the baby is not a full-fledged nefesh, even when it's inside. But even if the Rambam holds that it is a nefesh, you could kill the baby because the baby is a rodei fanan. Once the baby, once it's yatzer rosh or yatzer rubo, so then you can't kill the baby, because at that point, I assume it's tivo shel olam, it's a natural occurrence, it happens min hashamayim, and therefore, don't do anything. Ellie, comment.
Does the term, I don't know,
that's from the Gemara.
How does that once the baby goes out?
So again, I think Mishamaya Karatvi probably means, the way Rashi learns the Gemara, Mishamaya Karatvi means that this is not a case of Rodef at all. Right? It's not a Rodef when I'm inside, it's not a Rodef when I'm outside, it's not a Rodef. How come there's a distinction between inside and outside? So Rashi says the pashtus in the Mishnah is it's not a nefesh when it's inside. It is a nefesh when it's outside. But it's never a din of rodef. But once the baby's outside, so then I have a question. Two human lives, one against the other. What do I do? Right? Who says my blood is redder than your blood? So therefore, don't do anything. I would argue, one second, Ari, I would argue that the simple reading of Yiddishkeit, of this Gemara in Sanhedrin, is that, like Rashi says explicitly, and perhaps the Rambam agrees to this, that a baby is not a nefesh. The fetus, I should say, is not a nefesh. At some point it becomes a nefesh, but that point is once it's born. Now, it might be a rodef, it might not be a rodef. That's a discussion Rashi and the Rambam. But it is probably not a full-fledged life. That seems to be the simple understanding of the sugya. Until the baby is born, it is not a full-fledged life. Ari.
The lashon that the Rambam uses and the Mishnah is maksha leled. Right? To me, that means it's hard. It doesn't mean, does that necessarily mean that the woman's life is in danger? Maybe it's just a difficult labor.
My understanding of the reality of the world was that in a hard, childbirth was really dangerous. Right? A normal routine, smooth childbirth is okay. But once it's machalelaid, once it's a difficult childbirth, so that means life is at risk. That's how I'm reading it.
Yeah, I want to ask one other question, and that is the Tosos and Nida. You say that the Mutar Girsa is changed. What's it changed to? If it's not Mutar, then what is it? Is it Chayav? Is it Asur?
Some say that it's Asur Midrabanan. Some say it's Asur Min HaTorah. Right? They changed the word Mutar to Asur. In other words, it's a huge change.
Yeah.
Right? If I change a text to the opposite of what it says, that's like a big deal. I would argue, maybe Tosas and Nida really says it's mutter, but that's one opinion. And the consensus view is that it's not mutter.
Right.
It seems impossible that the consensus view in Judaism is that abortion is mutter. Impossible.
Even though the Mishnah says it is.
The Mishnah doesn't say it is. The Mishnah says in a case where the woman is makshalelaid, when she's having difficulty, it is right. There is no heter of wanton abortion in Judaism. Zero. That Tosfos in Nida, if it exists, is an outlier. Zach, you had a comment? Okay. Now, the point I'm getting at is as follows. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in a tshuva in Chelek Beis Simen Samach Tes.
Excuse me. It would seem to me that the inyan of an abortion for a baby, because it has a din of rodef, what makes it a rodef? What makes it a rodef is like a cancer. If I have a cancer, the halacha is that I may remove this cancer.
Right.
They remove this cancer.
Let's go slowly.
And that's the deen of a baby who is causes hakshasa in leilad.
Abba, let's just go slowly for a second. A cancer, Rachmana Litzlan, is not a separate entity called a rodef. A rodef means that Reuven is pursuing Shimon. If Reuven has a cancer, right? So there's an illness. I don't view the illness like it's a separate entity. Over here, the notion of rodef is that there is some sort of separate entity and one entity is pursuing the other. Right? So the fact that there's application of the rodef rule is implying that it's a separate entity, but even so, it might be, I don't like this expression, but I have no other way of using it. Rashi would probably say it's considered a lower form of life. It is considered potential life, perhaps, which is a lower form. It's not actual life. Nady threw out an idea before that it might be something tantamount to the Isra of Hashchas HaZera, to the Isra of spilling seed. Right? That's assumed to be an Isra Daraisa, right? Yehuda had a son, Onan, who died because of that. So it could be that's the Isra. It's something which Chazal take very seriously. The Gemara says it's ki'ilu shofech damim, but it is not actual murder. Rav Moshe Feinstein, however, in this Tshuva and Chelek Beisim and Samach Tes, Rav Moshe argues that it is real murder. And Rav Moshe says that not only is abortion murder, but anyone who says it's not is wrong. And wrong in the sense of there's no text that agrees with them. Meaning that Tosfos in Nida, wrong Girsa. Got it. There's a tshuva in the Maharit. The Maharit, in one place, writes that abortion is not murder. Abortion is like injuring. It could be it's injuring the baby. It could be it's injuring the mother. It's not clear. That's a Maharit in Siman Sadi Tes. Rav Moshe says that Maharit is written by some Talmud Torah. It's written by a student who made a mistake. But there's no real Maharit who says that. No Maharit who says that. Because the Maharit in a different Shuvah in Siman Sadi Zayin contradicts what he says in Siman Sadi Tes. And maybe it's a mistake. There's a Shuvah in the Chavos Ya'ir where he permits abortion for a woman who became pregnant out of wedlock. I give you this Shuvah on page 4 over here. I give you the Maharit on page 4 also. Right? A woman who became pregnant out of wedlock. The Chavos Ya'ir does permit the abortion to some extent, although his Maskana says, don't do it, but he entertains the idea it might be permitted. Says Rav Moshe, Chavos Ya'ir never permitted it. Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the Tshuva, I give it to you at the end. Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a creative approach. A woman, a married woman, becomes pregnant. The child will be born as a mamzer. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, since the Mishnah in Erchin says that a woman who is chayeves misa, you kill the woman and you kill the baby also. So therefore, al pidin, this baby should die. Therefore, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, you're allowed to abort in that case because the baby is supposed to be dead, al pidin. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, come on, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, what are you talking about? What are you talking about, Rabbi Yaakov Emden? You can abort because the baby is chayiv misa. The baby can't be chayiv misa because Bezdin didn't pass in his chayiv misa. Rav Moshe writes that anyone who says that abortion is anything other than murder is just wrong. However, the consensus approach of our poskim, right, the poskim in this yeshiva, is that abortion is not murder. Abortion is some other iser. Maybe hashchas hazera. Maybe it's an iser of injuring. Maybe it's something that's an appurtenance of murder. But it's not actual murder. If that's the case, abortion can be permitted in certain circumstances. Right? I'm allowed to have plastic surgery. It's an iser of chavala, same iser of injuring, but in certain circumstances permitted. if that's the case, we do have to discuss, maybe there's some cutoff line. Maybe at some point it becomes a full-fledged life. Maybe that's the time of fetal movement. Right? Maybe that's a time when the pregnancy is recognizable, when she starts to show. But certainly earlier on, it is for sure not murder. The Catholic approach, that life begins at conception, even though Rav Moshe is really pretty close to that, not exactly the same, but pretty close, but it's not the mainstream approach. Again, there's so much more to be said, gentlemen, but we have mincha in 2 minutes. We have to finish. I will take other questions after. Okay, guys, have a great day.